Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word.
God's calling us to grow. Living things grow. Amen. My dad taught me about being root-bound plants. You got to pull them out and take some of the roots and deal with them because living things grow. What you have to watch out for are the growth inhibitors. And in fact, I want to share with you in the Word today, taking things out of the way that would try to hinder the flow of what God has for us as we walk. This is a walk God's called us to walk. We're walking by faith, not by sight. We're walking in the Spirit. We're going to walk in the truth, walk in the light. We're walking with God. And I want our walk to really matter. I want our, whether you're an artist or whether you're a hair designer, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're working on the assembly line, whether you're a medical doctor, whatever you are, God's hand is on you and He's called you to walk this walk. And I pray this will strengthen you and help you in your walk. I want you to get your Bibles. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians and we're going to spend some time there and in Ephesians. 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonian is a funny name. It's actually now, if you look on your map, modern day, there's a town called Thessaloniki, which is right there on the Mediterranean, south in Greece. It's the same site as this church. This was a place where Paul was very excited. Paul the Apostle, the founder of the place, the church, was very grateful for the attitudes of these people. He said in verse 2, chapter 1, actually Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And now, so in other words, he's real happy about what these people are doing. These people are accomplishing some things. They're living it. They're genuine. They're making a difference in their community, their county, their country, and their world. And it says in verse 3, constantly, here's why Paul's happy, these bearing in mind their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. If you ever want to know, if they ask you, what kind of church is St. Louis Family Church? You could say it's a love church, it's a hope church, it's a faith church. Because these three abide, faith, hope, and love. Now we know the greatest is love. We know in 1 John, the Bible says God is love. And if you want to walk in the greatest manifestation, the highest manifestation of the culture of the kingdom of God, it's the love walk. And I just want to talk about the love walk a little bit, and I want to show you that this church actually was thriving because of this central ingredient. Love is not some sort of sissy, flowery sympathy thing. It's not some sort of human empathy. It's something quite powerful. Love values others. Love can only come from God. God is love, and He straightens us out as we love Him. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. We love because He first loved us. And I'll tell you what, this needs to translate in the people that treat us weird at work. It needs to translate into that mean neighbor that scowls at you all the time for no apparent reason. It needs to translate into the hurts and the wounds of the past, because the Bible says it's inevitable that offenses will come. In the Thessalonian church, I guarantee you, they had conflict. They had, because they had people there. They had marriages that sometimes were doing great and other times it got a little cold. The romance went south. There were times when the leadership was doing really great and other times that they brought disappointment and the people had to deal with all of it. It's just as part of life. I know that because there are human beings present. But in spite of those flaws, these guys were walking in a work of faith, a labor of love, a steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the presence of God. And they were moving in something of a blessing. And in fact, here's how it's defined here. Verse 8. It says, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. The word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. This was central to Paul because he knew the word of God was what faith would come by. He knew that they can't believe unless they see it and hear it preached. and that these guys were taking hold of the gospel and they were being radically changed, coming out of pagan idolatry and deception and emptiness and experiencing the richness that Jesus supplies and forgiveness of sin and a connection with the Father that they'd been alienated from. And so now it's going out into Macedonia and Achaia. This is awesome because Alexander the Great came out of Macedonia and he conquered the world. But now the gospel is conquering where he had conquered. And God is actually even using what he had done, what was in a conquest of kind of an evil thing. God ended up using it to turn back around and make the gospel accessible to all the places. It's just amazing how God works things after the counsel of his will. And also in every place, your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. Now, it's funny because you would think the letter would stop right there when he said, I really don't have anything to say to you. Amen. God bless you. You're doing great. But actually, he shares three more chapters. So if you think I'm going to stop preaching right now, you're wrong. Now, listen to this. Let's go to chapter 4 and let's look at verse 1. Thessalonians. And, you know, I'm saying this as a pastor because this is my aspiration for this fellowship, for this church. I pray that the word would go forth from this place, that we would operate in a work of faith, a labor of love, and a steadfastness of hope. We'd be hope-filled people. We'd be people that walk in faith, that our faith would grow. I like what that guy said when he came back from Sri Lanka. He said he felt like he aged 20 years, but he didn't mean aging. He meant growing. In the last service, I talked about how I feel that I've taken an 18-inch stride. He took a 20-year stride. That's cool. I'm happy about my 18. Don't compare one with the other. I'm excited about growing. We're growing up in him. Let me tell you a story. High in the Alps, this is true, there's a monument raised in honor of a faithful guide who perished while ascending a peak to rescue a stranded tourist. Inscribed on that memorial stone are these interesting words. He died climbing. He died climbing. A maturing, growing Christian should have the same kind of attitude right up to the end of life. I want that to be said of everybody in this building right now. I want all of us to die climbing, to grow, to keep growing, to never stagnate, to never resign, to never dismiss or back down. There's always room for improvement in each one of our lives. Hallelujah. Now, this church is cool, because the word is going forth and spreading. That's my prayer for this place, that the word of God will go forth so mightily out of here that hundreds of millions of people will get saved as a result. Now, let's look at these verses. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. That you excel still more. Now, let's stop here for a minute. I'm talking about some pretty big stuff. I'm talking about church impacting culture. I'm talking about the world being changed through a body of believers. But let's just focus on you right now. Let's make it all about you. Okay, let's have the all about me moment for a minute. But not in a selfish way. Here's why I say this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it talks about the thriving of the body of Christ, the thriving of a church group, the thriving of a home life, is rooted in the proper working of each individual part. This church had a group of people that understood, I can't carry resentment anymore because it'll hinder the flow. And I got to learn how to grow up in this because they're coming all from all sides and all directions. And I've even generated some. This is mature Christianity. Not only have I been offended, but I have offended. Most of the time I didn't mean to, but sometimes I got angry and I meant to. Forgive me, Father. Listen, I'm not documenting all the destruction and the depravity of the world. I want to document and itemize all the abundance and power of the kingdom of God and all the resources available to us in Christ. I'd rather light a candle than curse the darkness. So we see in these verses that these guys were learning how to walk the walk. He said, you guys are learning how you ought to walk. We've been teaching you and you've been getting instruction on how to walk. I told you last week that in Exodus 18, 19 and 20, Moses had the same responsibility with Israel, just like Paul did with the church, just like I do as your pastor. And that is to teach the way in which they ought to walk and the work they are to do. In our particular church, you come to this church, there are things God's called us to do. He's called us together to make an impact in certain things. And so we must be faithful to those certain things. Other churches have other mandates and other responsibilities. And that's why we must pray for the other believers and other pastors and churches that they finish strong, that they succeed in what they're called to do, so that we as a church will do what we're supposed to do. And it's the proper working of each individual part. And St. Louis becomes an environment of brightness and vibrancy and light. And that it's known for something of effectiveness in God. I pray this place would be a refueling station. I pray that we as individuals catch hold of this. Now, here's the thing. Verse 9. Let's go down to verse 9 in this chapter. Who in here has ever worked with somebody that took an idea from you, that backstabbed you, that was hard to work with? Raise your hand real quick. They might be sitting by you, so raise it fast and put it back down. It's just repeated over and over again in the human condition. Look at Adam and Eve. Soon as they get out of the chute, hey, it's that serpent. No, it's that woman you gave me. No, it's all this blame shifting. Then they have some babies. One kills the other one. And then they have babies. And then two-thirds of them are going with God. One doesn't. It just goes on and on throughout our history. Boy, we need God. Yeah. All this self-help stuff and all these self-help religions can't pull you out of a hole. There had to be a Redeemer that would come who is authentically pure and holy and fulfilling all the biblical truths and was in fact God in the flesh. And he came and restored and brought us out of darkness. Come on, man. Jesus is the Lord. And this early church modeled this and they got a hold of it. And he said, you guys are learning it, but excel still more. In fact, he even said in verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. In another verse in Romans 12, it says that we're to walk in the brotherly love and tenderheartedness. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let the love of the brethren continue. God's called us to the love walk, people, where we value others. God is calling us to walk in a different way, in a manner worthy of the gospel. And here's the verse. It says in verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I guarantee you, God, this is one of the main fundamental teachings of the principles of the kingdom. God, make no mistake about it, wants every one of us to walk in the love walk. Love never fails. Faith works through love. Oh, wait a minute. God is love. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're not only required to walk in love, God actually wants to demonstrate his love through us. Now, this early church got a hold of it. And that doesn't just mean they were all Hallmark cards and real sweetie pie. And like, oh, no, I love you. No, after you. No, after you. It wasn't like that. These were guys that were living rugged, real. This was not easy living at this period. And there were challenges. This was not some sort of gilded halo crowd on mosaics going, love you, man. These were people living the gritty realities of life, but they figured out how to do it. This is what I want to be like when I grow up. And these guys were walking in love, and he said, you know what? I really don't even need to talk much about it, except he said, but you still practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. God is calling us to resolve wherever possible the strife situations that have become dominant in our lives. Here's the quiet part. Here's the non-amen part. God is moving in a special way. I took a survey in the last service. How many of you in recent days have either been prompted to or have had somebody come to you and say, hey, I just want to bury the hatchet. We need to get some things right. How many of you have had some of that recently in the last 3 months? Let me see your hands if you've had some of that. Wave your hands if you've had some of that. Put your hand up. How many of you are sensing, man, maybe there might be room for me in some area? Like right now you're thinking, there are a couple of things, as much as it depends on me, I could actually produce some peace in a situation. Let me see your hands. Now let me say something to you about this. Because I don't see God exhorting us into silliness. I believe he will show you who to talk to and who not to initiate it yet. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. So I don't want you just to get on phones and get in a situation where you set yourself up prematurely in a situation. I believe the Holy Spirit, however, is calling us, and he does, I think, through the course of our lives, but I think prophetically in this moment as we move into spring of 2006, that God actually really wants us, as much as it depends on us, to be at peace, not with a few people, not with elite people, not with just a little handful, but with all men. Getting quiet in here. The Bible says, pursue peace and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all men. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Boy, I've been around long enough to have had some real highs and real lows, some real disappointments and some real elated moments. I've had times where I felt really good about my activities and actions and attitudes, and there are times when I was just miserably embarrassed about my attitude. And by the grace of God, His Holy Spirit is faithful to bring conviction and repentance. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So I'm grateful for the dealing of the Holy Spirit. I look at those verses and I see that that is available to us. And I see that God is saying, listen, do what you can, as much as it depends on you. Yeah. Be at peace with all men. Right. Now there are some toxic relationships that there's really no basis for repair. But even in the, so it's not necessarily, man, you lied to me and stabbed me in the back most of my life, so now I'm going to go back into business with you. No, it's like, I just forgive you. I'm not going into business with you, but I love you because we're doing the business of life. Is everybody here? Yeah. So how do we practically dissect this and work this out? Here's what a lady said. When you know that God loves you, it helps you to love yourself. And when you love yourself, you can love somebody else. And so this is what God is calling us to do. Get strong on the fact that God loves us. Realize, man, God is crazy about us and loves us and proved it by sending Jesus. And don't let anybody preach that away from you. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. This is the message and mystery of the gospel. God knows us and He loves us anyway. Let it settle in you that, yes, God loves you. God loves you. And when you called on Him and repented, He washed you and took your sin as far as the east is from the west when you surrendered your life to Christ. And the Bible says that the new commandment is to love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so this church is doing it. They're practicing love toward one another. They're loving each other. They're caring for one another. And they're being truthful with each other. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Carl Menninger said this, love cures people, both the ones who give it and the ones who receive it. I want to share something with you about these mission trips. They're designed to save lives. I've got high aspirations. I do not have an affection for running around the world, spending a lot of money and time trying to rearrange the deck chairs of the Titanic. I realize the world's all messed up and it's overwhelming. But listen, I like the story about the man and his son who were walking down the beach after a hurricane, and he was picking up starfish. He picked up a starfish and threw it back in the water. All kinds of starfish had been washed up to shore, and this boy went over and threw a starfish in there, and the dad said, you know, how is that going to help anything? And he said, well, it helped that one. We need to banish all that sort of inactivity. We're called to be people of action. We could change the world from this. Just one starfish thrown in there. One of these kids on this retreat can come back and route a whole new path in the world and walk with God and make a difference and break from old mindsets and be somebody of impact in their world. Come on. And so I think this too. We're hearing about people being healed, and we're hearing about people getting their lives changed. But these signs are to follow those who believe. God is actually calling us to signs and wonders life. Well, you know, Daniel has said, how great are your signs and how great are your wonders? Well, in the book of Mark, it tells where they are to be. They're to be in the context of Christians' lives. He's still doing miracles. Miracles of lives being changed. And we want that. We want to make a vibrant difference while we're here. I mean, Kirby Puckett was a great baseball player, MVP. I mean, 44 years old. Dies of a stroke instantly. Dana Reeve, beautiful, you know, talented, multimillionaire, you know, widow of Christopher Reeve, gone at 44 years old. This whole thing is, you know, it's a brief, But we need to make the most of the brevity of it and not be morbid about it. In fact, we need to get interested in what God is interested in. And this, my friends, is a key. If we're going to be effective in the world, we got to really care. I mean, we can't go out with pretense and phoniness. This has to be the real deal. Our mission field's outside these walls. We're having a great time in church today. We're building each other up and standing strong and gaining ground, filling ourselves up with the Word, getting our tanks full, in order that in those inevitable contacts we're about to have with people, we're going to have the presence and substance of something where God can authentically pour out His Spirit through it. Yes. And just as you become normal Christians, and as you and I continue to conquer the temptation to be bitter and lay aside anger and wrath and just fight it and resist it and stay out of it, and how tempting it is sometimes to stew in resentment and just get in a self-justifying moment of anger and bitterness. But I'll tell you what, people are attracted. You could attract flies more with honey than you can with vinegar. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about some things. First of all, chapter 4, it talks about, do not give the devil an opportunity. How many of you don't want the devil to opportunistically mess with your life? It's just, yeah, I mean, we'd all raise our hand. And little kids, let me tell you something. You could close the door to the devil. You could close the door to the devil. If it says don't give him an opportunity, that means that we have something to say about it. See there? And then it goes on later and it talks about do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's been 2 years since my dad died, and I've grieved. Why have I grieved? Because of a loss of something. Grieving the Holy Spirit creates a loss. There's a loss of flow, a loss of connection. What God's really saying in these verses is stay vibrant. Don't let any of these growth inhibitors or anointing inhibitors or open doors for the devil come into your life. You guys still here? This is strong, but it's important. I know you already know it, but I'm going to tell you to excel still more, because I believe God's about to accelerate some things. I believe in harvest. I believe in cycles and seasons. I believe we're to be instant in season and out of season, and I believe we're coming into a season where culturally a lot of people are going to get just fed up enough, and they're going to want Jesus Christ. They're going to want to know why you tick. So we got to shake off religious mindsets and old wineskins and old sacred cows and traditions and say, Father, I want to be fresh. What are the key concepts for the future? And I'll tell you what it is. It's walking in love. It's walking where you value. Listen, I was in U City yesterday with Taylor. I'm walking down that bohemian little street, and I just felt just such a burden for the souls. Yeah. It's been a while since I go. I never go out on Saturday night because I prepare for church. But I felt like I needed to be there with Taylor, and I was walking with him, and I got down there, and it was 75 degrees last night. It was beautiful, so a lot of people were out. And as I walked, I contacted and kind of looked at people and sensed it. And I just felt like we got to figure out a way to win our city to Jesus Christ. We got to figure out a way to make St. Louis a hard place to go to hell from. Inner city suburbs and rural area. I'm trusting God for this region to be saturated with His presence. It happened here. Say, it can happen. See, the Thessalonians had the word sound forth into Macedonia and into Achaia, and then it went into the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, guys, that congregation is long gone and dead, and they're still impacting. Their testimony is fueling us in Chesterfield. I mean, this is the kind of potential we carry. This is higher than being an MVP in a baseball game or being a movie star or a millionaire. This is something that transcends time and transcends culture, elitism. It's something that can get in and change a nation and change the world. Hallelujah. I have hope for my country. I have hope for my generation. I figure there's an iPod and the pornographers are getting on top of it. I think let's get the gospel in there. Let's believe God for every bit of technology to be saturated with Jesus. I don't want any cheesy, hokey stuff. That's why we're believing God for those entertainment people to raise up the standard and produce and create and be the most effective they've ever been since before the Renaissance. Church is the place where God downloads His power. Christians are the people Jesus lives inside. Church is the institution God has given the mandate and the responsibility to carry the life-changing message of Jesus. You heard that gentleman. A year ago, he was not walking with God or whatever, and then he gets around kingdom people. gets a cupcake, but gets more importantly the reality of the kingdom in its fuller scope, and has a culture shift in his own mind, an attitude adjustment. It's not about me. I'm going to give out. He still has his issues, I'm sure. He still has a deal. Patsy talked about hers too. She's had a challenging experience since she was a child. But I only trust people that walk with a limp. I do life better with people that really mean business in life. We don't have time to use our energies for artificial church masks. That takes too much energy to prop those up.
Hi, praise the Lord.
No. We're not wearing our feelings on our sleeves either. We are more than conquerors and we're victorious, but we're certainly engaged in a series of battles. The greatest battle, I'm convinced of, is in the area of the love walk. And if we can learn, if we walk in love, I believe it pleases God so much. And I believe it creates an atmosphere conducive. I can see the gifts and operations of God operating. It rises and falls on whether or where I'm at with my attitude concerning the love walk. If I'm harboring bitterness or resentment towards somebody, if I'm murmuring towards somebody, it just numbs it and dulls it. It blunts the edge of it. On the other hand, if I humble myself in repentance and keep before the Lord and trust Him to help me with my heart on this, I see a greater enhancement of the blessing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that, after all, what we want for our little lifespan? We got this one shot. We might as well live it and bring days of heaven on earth. And we already know in this church we're supposed to be normal. We don't need to go out with all kinds of religious affectations. We don't even need to be culturally relevant, because the gospel is the power of God. We don't even need relevance, because the gospel is what it is. We don't need to keep trying to figure out how to whittle down the gospel to be relevant. No, we just try to need to whittle our lives into His place where He can use us. I don't want to be the meanest guy at work. I don't want to be the guy on the highway that has the scowl driving down the highway. I don't want to be the guy at the counter at the grocery store or the place in the mall just breathing mean and acting, where's the manager? I've seen this happen. And, you know, more importantly, people see it happen. Well, there's people from family. Listen, I want us to be the best tippers. Because Friday night, the manager of one of the restaurants got baptized. You want to know why? Because of the network of believers in her life, and then those going to they were intrigued. They started to see true Christians living it, loving God. And I'm not talking about with their Bibles. This is the day. With flashlights doing like choreography or bells or something. Like a bell choir or getting cups and doing some sort of crystal thing. Oh, a mighty fortress is our God. Boom, boom, boom. The greatest power in the church is when we truly care about other people. Amen. We could have big screens, stadium seats, the best music. Everything pales. Beautiful land, outstanding vehicles. All those things are wonderful and have their place. Nothing can or ever will substitute for unfeigned love and sincere, genuine care for other people. One of the reasons I want to have a building that accommodates more of us together, I'd like you to get to know who comes in the next service, because they're so awesome. I'd like you to get to meet the people who get up and come at 7 o'clock, because it freaks me out. I'd like you to see the kids coming back in the vans having just been filled with the Spirit. I'm excited to hear what my 13-year-old says about taking his fishing pole and his Bible, and what happened. I can't wait to hear what happened. See these people coming in, and these, you know, the guy in the skirt coming back from Sri Lanka. It's just like, I just can't wait to come to church. Now, quickly. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I've been caught in anger and things that Patsy didn't have the same kind of problem with. And also, she's been caught in some things that I haven't been caught in. And this is where marriage is cool. Is when the other person isn't caught, fallen or hurt or caught in your trespass. And they can help you out of it. It's a drag when you're both in the same hole, because we've been in there a couple of times, and that's a bummer. That's when you need to get outside help. But church, we need to listen. I know some people have offended you. And I know you have offended some people. And I just keep beating this drum because I think that this is what the Lord requires of us. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with the Lord. Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good report in the sight of God and men. Favor is not just for the favorites. Favor is for people who make these adjustments and get committed to the love walk. You may be painfully shy. You may have been legitimately hurt. It's true, man. There, offenses come. And you might be in a degree of resolve. And I'm not going to pretend you're going to get it all over with after I preach my message just now. I may just be putting a fire under your feet, just encouraging you in this area. And the Holy Spirit, He's the one that's our teacher. He'll come and shine light on it. That's why I don't think you need to be overstimulated to call people up and get into it. The last thing I want to have happen is you get in a situation where it's premature. So be led by the Spirit. Some of you may be a little bit behind. You need to make that call. Some of you, I pray the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. I determined on a relationship, I decided I am going to do my part on this and be mature in this. I'm not going to let yesterday's justification govern me, because I got to throw off the shackles if I'm going to have any margin of impact in the world and be any kind of decent Christian. Does that make sense? Everybody still here? You guys all convicted? I am. Good. Listen, lift up your Bibles. Say, this is my Bible. If you borrow it, say, this is somebody else's Bible. This has really good information in it. This is a pathway to the higher levels of effectiveness. I pray the best days would be yet to come for you as you forget what lies behind. Hey, husbands and wives, you do have cold moments. You do have time where you look at each other and you're just not doing so great. So what do you do then? You recognize, I made a covenant, and I'll tough it out, and we'll get back into that romance and that tenderness. And I'll do my part to repent, and I'll pray my head off that she or he will repent. Church people, you go into a church and you just feel like it's days of heaven on earth, and then maybe the leader will disappoint you or something will happen, because those things do happen. I try my best not to, but I'm a human being. I'm not trying to say that for an excuse. I don't want to mess up. I got a deal on me. I just want to do everything right, but I don't all the time. So what do? It's like, get upset and walk off. No, we gotta work with it, man. We gotta forgive and love, and that's what that church did. And it pushed the walls of their world out. They could have just been in a little bitty little amphitheater over off the side of Thessalonica, just kind of, hey man, what's up, dude? Praise the Lord. With their little fish signs and stuff and their "What Would Jesus Do" stickers. No, they broke loose. They're impacting Chesterfield today. Do you see that? I pray you win so many people to Jesus. I've been down in the South City a lot. Drove over by Ted Drew's. I've met some of the Serbians that live down there. I want to see harvest and revival in the Serbians. They're cool people, man. And the Bosnians and people like that. I just want that. I don't know why God's opening up this Yugoslavian thing to our church, but He has. And I had this burden for Albanians. I want to see them come to know Jesus. Okay, so now let me ask you this. Close your eyes. How many of you say, you know, I know there are some adjustments I can make with specific people, and I'm trusting God to reveal how I should do it. I'm going to purpose in my heart to do it as much as I know what to do. Raise your hand real high if that's you. Okay, put your hand down. Now, look up here. I pray in Jesus' name you'd have wisdom, timeliness, the realization that they may not respond to you in kind. In other words, you go in there with your heart real humble and say, for my part, I'm sorry. And then if they go, well, I forgive you, or, you are a jerk, what are you going to do then? Rear back up, become demon-possessed and tear their head off? No, you may draw back a bloody stump, but at least you initiated a process. You may just do it in privacy. You may just say, God, it's my preliminary place. I forgive. Does that make sense to you? But I urge you to do it. And here's why. There are miracles on the other side of this resolve. Miracles of salvation, miracles of healing, miracles of prayer breakthrough. It's getting you out of bondage and into breakthrough. And how many of you want that? Amen. So, Father, I pray you use these guys in a mighty way to walk the walk. They're going to keep moving forward. And I just pray you use them in a mighty, mighty, mighty way.
In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only He can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through Him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord. And that through faith in Him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved, and that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running, no more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience Him and come to understand His ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to His heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to Him and have access with Him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for His purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and His perfect will for your life.